We'll be talking today about the power of testimony. It may just change your life.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a verse you may have heard from the Psalms, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It's often used to call for testimony. And I want to encourage you today about the power of testimony. You're going to be edified, encouraged, blessed on today's broadcast. This is Michael Brown coming your way live from, is it Cummings, Georgia, right outside of Dawsonville, Georgia, where I'm here for ministry yesterday and today. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. We are audio only, so the same as always on radio, but you don't get to see me live on Facebook and YouTube. But same voice, same Michael Brown, serving as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. And same number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. I do want to talk a little bit about the coronavirus. I do want to talk a little bit about the presidential elections in America, and I'm open to take your calls on a wide range of subjects. So if you're unable to get through on a Friday or even on a Thursday and had a question for me or comment, wanted to interact, please, by all means, give me a call. And as we've spoken about the gifts and power of the Spirit for today and covered those issues, if you have questions about those things, please give me a phone call. But I want to encourage you on the subject of the power of testimony. And it's something that I think we do not use enough, because of which our faith is not as strong as it could be. Our confidence is not as strong as it could be. And God is not glorified to the degree that he could be glorified. I was at a meeting last night, spoke yesterday, so Sunday morning, Sunday night, at a church in North Georgia, Dawsonville, Georgia, where 109 weeks ago, they began to call for people that wanted to make a rededication of their lives through water baptism or a symbolic act of surrender in their lives through water baptism. So not necessarily a first-time convert, which is how we normally associate water baptism, but so it would have been in the ancient Jewish world. There were various baptismal rites, washing rites. Hebrews 6:2 talks about doctrine, teaching of baptisms, plural. In any case, as they began to do it in obedience to something the Lord had shown the pastor, people began to get miraculously touched. People got set free from long-term sinful bondages. People got miraculously healed, encountered God in fresh ways. So they did it again another week and another week. So numerous churches come together now to host these meetings on Sunday nights. There's time of worship, there's preaching, and then there's water baptism. So I finished preaching. Service started at 6. I finished preaching at 8 some, a little bit past 8. We had people respond to the message. And then I prayed for individuals that wanted prayer, but after that, they went into their water baptisms. And people come from other countries to be baptized, come from different parts of America, or to go through this baptismal ceremony. And you wouldn't know what was really happening. You know what I'm saying? There are people being ministered to and prayed for quietly, but you wouldn't really know what's happening as it's going on. And they would do this. I don't know how late it lasted. I left about 9:45, something like that. But I believe it went on past midnight, sometimes to 1 or 2 in the morning. They pray for everyone, minister to everyone, baptize everyone that wants to go through this. And you think, well, what actually happened? Because you're watching it, you're not seeing anything. People seem to be touched and blessed, but you're not really seeing anything. It's just quiet service, people praying and ministering and so on. Not a big emotional, you know, shouting, jumping around or anything like that. There's worship going on as the people are being baptized. But what's actually happening? Well, before the baptisms last night, before I preached, there were testimonies. There was a family there, mom, dad, with their 4 girls, 2 twins, I think 8, then a 7-year-old girl, then a 4-year-old girl. And the four-year-old girl, they noticed some problems, the neck stiffening and different problems with walking and things like that. And they brought her into the doctor, and turned out that she had a cancerous tumor lodged in her spine. And they said nothing can be done about it. They said radiation, the goal with radiation, a regimen of 28 days of radiation, the goal is to stop it from growing, but you can't get rid of it. And life expectancy is very short. It's deadly. So they're at the end of themselves. They hear about what's happening. They bring their daughter, and she doesn't want to get in the water, you know, with everything she's been through. So the dad does on her behalf. Again, is just a point of faith, a point of contact, a point of saying fresh surrender to the Lord. And then they prayed over the daughter, and they brought her back in for another X-ray. And the doctor's looking and is shocked, is amazed. The tumor's completely gone. We saw the before and after. There is the X-ray, before and after. God's a good God. He does these kind of things. No, I know not everybody's healed. I understand that. The vast majority of people I prayed for with cancer over the years have not been healed. I'm totally honest about that. All right, the healings have been few and far between. I haven't prayed for that many people with cancer. Those I have, normally I haven't seen a miraculous answer. But God does these things. He does them to this day. Jesus has risen from the dead and sent his Spirit and continues to do these amazing, wonderful things. So there it is. Now here, the husband's being totally honest. He said, you know, my skepticism kicked in. And I said, okay, could the radiation have done this? And they said, no, you don't understand. This tumor does not respond to radiation that way. Our hope was that it wouldn't grow for a little while, just extend her life by maybe a few more months. That was our hope. I said, no, the doctor said, it is a miracle. We have no explanation for why this happened. Now, it was one of three miraculous testimonies that we heard last night on video or in person. And two of the three were cancer-related, and they both had scans, medical scans afterwards, where the doctors had no explanation, said, this is a miracle. Then the father says this. When we look at that, there's this little white dot that's on the X-ray, and he says, what about that? They said, no, that's just a fatty deposit. That's always there. It's just a fatty deposit. Because he's thinking like we are. Is it real? Could it be? I don't know. Maybe it's not really true. And I love the fact that he was being open and honest with his skepticism. I love that, because that's most of us. I mean, you hear the reports like, yeah, last time I heard the report, the person died, or it wasn't the doctor's report, they misread it or whatever. And yeah, it's natural to have these questions. But then you hear the testimony and you see the family, and then you meet the people years later, and the healing is real. And here's the whole deal. You didn't know what was happening until you heard the testimony. And suddenly you realize what God was doing. I have been in meetings where people have responded to an altar call, and they come up and they're weeping at the altar and they're crying out to God, but I don't know their lives. I don't know the background. I don't know the history. I don't know why these two people are hugging each other, crying. I don't know the story until I hear the testimony. And when I hear it, now my faith soars. Now I'm edified. Now I'm encouraged. Now I'm built up. And I just ask folks, I do this hardly ever. But I just ask folks on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, then my personal Facebook page, and then our Twitter page. I just ask folks, if our ministry has been a blessing to you, could you just share a short testimony? I want to encourage our team, and I want to glorify God together with you. And I've been reading, I mean, scores and scores and scores and scores of testimonies posted, and it's moving and it's encouraging. Thank you, all of you that are listening that posted testimonies. Thank you for taking the time to do it. How encouraging. How wonderful to hear how maybe a book that we wrote changed your life, or a radio broadcast that we did saved you from error, or whatever it is, all to the glory of God. But you see, right now I'm talking on radio, right? I'm speaking, and I know there are people listening because we're on the radio, and we can see on YouTube and Facebook views, and then people downloading podcasts, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I understand that. But right now I'm sitting talking in an empty room to a microphone, all right? You may be listening, and the words I'm saying are life-changing for you, but I don't know it, and the rest of the body doesn't know it because there's no testimony to go with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Once you hear the rest of the story, once you find out that that person weeping at the altar was a drug abuser for 20 years, and that night came under deep conviction of sin, and that night went running to the altar to get right with God, and that night was forgiven, and then you see them 6 months later, you can't even recognize them, and they are new creations in Christ. They are changed people. They have been saved by the blood of the Messiah. You hear the rest of their story and their background. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's glorious. I want to encourage you to share testimonies with one another more, to edify and encourage one another more. I posted one time and I asked the question, if you have been miraculously healed by God, a definite, documented, tangible healing, not I believe it, I feel it, I think it, but it's documented. You had a documented medical condition, maybe it was incurable, and by God's power and grace, you miraculously healed, not through our prayers. I'm just asking if this happened in your life, to post it. And we did it on social media. I was blown away. I mean, I know God works. I know he works miracles. But I was blown away by the testimonies and in some cases, the depth of suffering, the pain, the heartache, the difficulty, and then the glorious divine intervention. Wow. Or the accounts with children or individuals or the medical testimonies and the doctor's shock. And that was 30 years ago. That was 20 years ago. Wow. I mean, even people responding to our books. I was looking at testimonies from people who read the book that Nancy and I wrote, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. And I'm looking down and there's some amazing testimonies that are just glorious. Let me just find this here. I lost 85 pounds and kept it off for almost a full year now. My wife has lost 74 pounds and is a few weeks away from her one-year weight loss anniversary. God bless you and Dr. Furman. Dr. Joel Furman's plan is the one that we follow. And then I was reading another account, a gentleman in a wheelchair, but was so obese, it affected his whole health. And he said, you know, my family now, they have a husband back and they have a father back. Because he lost so much weight and his whole health changed that he's able to function and do things he couldn't do before. Even that is so encouraging to hear. So if you have a testimony, share it. Share it with a friend. Share it with the world. Let God be glorified. The power of testimony. We need to use it more. I'm going to show you scripture on this when we come back. And phone lines are open. If you have a testimony you want to share, if our ministry has been a blessing to you, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question for me or if our ministry has been a blessing to you and you'd like to testify how to the glory of God, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Just so moments ago, as I was looking at our Twitter feed, an Israeli believer, Jewish believer in Jesus, wanting us to know how our materials had helped and blessed him. I have run into so many Jewish believers around the world who've told me that they are strong in the faith because of the apologetics books that we put out. Again, it's all for God's glory. Any good that comes through us is for God's glory. But that's been amazing to hear because I wrote those books, the five-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, so that no other Jewish believer would have to go through the pain that I went through, the challenges I went through, as these Orthodox Jewish rabbis and learned rabbis challenged my faith, and I did not have ready answers for them because I didn't know Hebrew, and I wasn't versed in apologetics. I knew that Jesus had changed my life, but I didn't have the answers for them. And as God called me to study and dig and do the hard work and spend the hundreds and thousands of hours necessary to put out these resources and dialogue with the Jewish community to do it well and to do it with sensitivity, when I hear from people, and it's been a steady stream for many, many years, that they were struggling in their faith, that they were having questions. And then as they read these books, that the questions were answered. As they watched the debates, the questions were answered. Faith came alive. It means everything. It encourages you and what you're doing to keep doing it. Friends, do your spiritual leaders, your pastors and spiritual leaders, do they know that their ministry has been a blessing to you? Do they know that maybe that sermon was a life-changing sermon for you? Do they know that that word that you had for the word that pastor had for your kid, that was a pivotal word there? Do they know that? Do they know that when they prayed for you 2 weeks ago that God touched you and you were healed? Share it. It will glorify the Lord. It will strengthen your faith as you share it. It will strengthen the faith of others as they hear it. And it will encourage the leaders to keep going, to keep sacrificing, to keep pushing. So from Dan, or Don, as it would be in Israel, I'm an Israeli Jewish believer in Christ. I've been following your work since 2008. Dr. Brown, your cultural commentary, and especially your Jewish apologetics, have enriched me to no end over the years. Hope God blesses you in the years to come. Another one in comment that said, as I read your writing, I realize that there's a tribe out there that I'm part of. In other words, that he's not alone in what he feels. And that's part of what we seek to do, to be your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. So look, when we look in the Bible, friends, when we look in the scriptures, we see the account of the Exodus, not just told as it happened, but retold and retold and retold in Israel's history. And it's given again in the historical books. They look back to it, but then the prophets look back to it, and the Psalms look back to it. And there's this constant remembrance and testimony so that you don't forget what God did in the past. Look, circumstances can overwhelm us. The challenges of the day can overwhelm us. Difficulties and hardship can overwhelm us, and we end up struggling in our faith, and we need to be reminded of what he did in the past. God's not inconsistent. God's not fickle. God doesn't change. The famous verse in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that is forever true. And as we think back to what he did, as ancient Israel put the next generation in remembrance as to who God was and what he did, it stirred faith. And then the question, where is the God of our fathers today? What do you think the Gospels repeat the same account over and over and over? Miracle recounted here, miracle recounted there, miracle recounted there, teaching of Jesus here, teaching of Jesus there. It's to drill it in. It's to get it deeper and deeper into our hearts. Look, the Samaritan woman, Jesus speaks to her as a prophet. She realizes that he's the Messiah. And